leather.
Chair Rogers, the floor is yours.
Oh, brother. Okay. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Public Works Advisory Board meeting for the City of Morro Bay. And I think we'd like to start the meeting off with a moment of silence. Is that right? So we can do that, please. Okay, thank you. Let's see. We have several things to do this evening, and one of them is to see if the public has any comments, I think, before we begin our agenda.
Vice Chair Rogers, I think we would need to establish the quorum.
Okay.
And take attendance.
All right. Well, how do we do that? I see we have a good crew here tonight.
I think you could do a roll call and just check who's here.
Do a roll call. Okay. All right. Well, I know Ted's with us. Okay. So Ted, Steve Francis, I think he's online also. He was a minute ago. There he is. Yes, he's here. And Lori, of course, is here. She's up in Seattle. And Ian Gaffney. And I'm here, so I think that's the five of us. So I think that establishes a quorum, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And now you might ask someone to lead the pledge.
Okay. Well, I think, Lori, how about you? I think you'd be the ideal person to lead the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Sure. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
And to the Republic.
To the Republic
for which it stands.
One nation
under God.
Indivisible. With liberty and justice
for all. That's great. Okay. Excellent.
And then the last sort of housekeeping item is the board member announcements and presentations, if there are any. You may want to make the announcement about Chair Tory.
Yes. Okay, I will do that. Tory has resigned from our advisory board, and he was the chair. So I'm acting as chair right now, but one of the things we need to do is to elect a chair, and I don't know if we do that later in the meeting or if we at least put it on the agenda for tonight.
Yeah, I can answer that. I did receive direction from our city clerk about that, and because we found out so late, we would actually have to have that on the agenda in advance. So that's something that we can prepare for our next meeting in August.
Okay.
So for this meeting, if you would serve as chair, I think that would work.
All right. I'd be happy to do that. Although I try to run a very tight meeting. So yell at me if I'm roughshod. Okay. So let's see. I think we want to see if there's anybody from the public who'd like to make a public comment before we start.
There is nobody with their hand up in the queue at this time.
Okay. Thank you. All right, so why don't we move on to the consent agenda, which would include our minutes from our May 19th meeting. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the minutes from last month?
I would move approval of the May 19th, 2021 Public Work Advisory Board regular meeting minutes.
Excellent. Thank you, Ted. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
I will okay. Second.
Beautiful. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
The minutes are approved as read. or as distributed. Okay, so thank you for that. And I guess we'll move right into our business items, which would include our director's report. So Greg, take it away, please.
Thank you, Chair Rogers. I'm here to present the director's report for our June meeting. I do want to say that we are working to pare down this report. My ultimate goal is to have it shorter than what you're going to see tonight. What we really want to do is present the highlights of what our department does and take questions about that. This is really supposed to be a sort of general report about what we do. So it has been longer in the past, and again, over time, you will see this get pared down a bit. If anyone does have comments or questions about that, I'd be happy to answer. But if you go to the first slide, the first slide is about reopening the city offices to the public. As you know, the city closed several facilities to the public on March 19th last year to minimize the spread of person-to-person transmission of the coronavirus. But given Governor Newsom's announcement to lift the mask mandate in public effective Tuesday, June 15th, which was yesterday, city facilities will reopen their doors to the public on Monday, June 21st. That's next Monday. So residents and people doing business in the city will be able to enter and visit the following facilities. City Hall, the Shasta Building, which is what I'm calling the Public Works and Community Development Building, the Community Center, and the Harbor Department Building. Now, some other buildings have remained open, such as the Police Department, the Fire Department, so I did not include them here, but, you know, what has been closed for the most part, where residents are used to going, is City Hall, the Community Center, Shasta Building, and the Harbor Department. And because this is the Public Works Advisory Board, want to let you know that the Public Works Department will now have counter hours from 8 a.m. to noon on Monday through Thursday. Guests will be required to stay in we have a sort of lobby area. If you haven't been, feel free to come stop by and I can show you where it is. And there is sort of like a protective plexiglass so that employees are protected from transmission of the coronavirus. Guests will be asked to wear a mask as well.
Could you say those hours again, please, Greg?
Sure. 8 a.m. to noon, Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
And with that, I will pass it off to Matt Bishop.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Matt Bishop, maintenance supervisor, acting superintendent. I'm going to just follow up with exactly what Greg just mentioned with just a short summary of just some of the larger projects that we were involved with, our maintenance division. So on page 6 of the director's report, you'll see some pictures of the Rock parking lot. And we were involved with placing these nautical concrete pilings strategically placed at the Rock parking lot to organize the public parking. So this configuration also reduces the congestion and facilitates emergency access on both the east and west sides of the parking lot. We coordinated city efforts involved the EOC staff, the Harbor Department and Maintenance Division, and a special thanks to Associated Pacific for supplying the pilings and Garcia Construction for all the heavy lifting. So there's some shots of the tractor lifting them off the truck, bringing them in, and shortly after placing them in place there to the top right. And then a nice drone shot courtesy of the Morro Bay Police Department's drone. So that was nice of them to help us out with that.
Matt, I have a question.
Sure.
Did we have to pay for them?
We did. We purchased the pilings used.
But they are used pilings.
They are.
Good. It's amazing down there. What a difference.
Yeah, thank you. Hats off to everybody involved. I'll tell you, that was quite a chore to get all those in place and the way it was done. And again, the Harbor Department had a lot of involvement. So again, hats off to everybody involved. Moving on to page 7.
I have a question.
Sure.
Oh, I haven't been able to get down to see it yet, but is there like a traffic flow plan, or is it a little more ad hoc,
you know,
for the parking area in and out?
So if you, when you do get down there, the harbor department did design the entrance as a nice flow one-way entrance that would start at more of the east side of the parking entrance. So then as you come around, you would pick the lane you could go down. So there's not really a one-way flow around. You can actually, once you enter that large area, you can actually pick what lane you can go down. But it is a lot more organized. I must say that it's really well designed. And then to exit, it seems to be that you would make your way towards the Target Rock area, which would be even further on the south side of the Rock parking lot. So you would just continue out that further southwest side.
So no, I had a quick question as well.
Sure.
I noticed there's striping. Is that something that we're going to be doing like on a regular basis, or that was kind of a one-time shot for them, or?
So the chalk striping was initially put placed to try to get everybody to just see how things are, you know, how the organization was working for parking out there. Mm-hmm. The thoughts are, you know, after a while, maybe there'll be enough of the local traffic parking that way to where we can get away from chalking it. And Harbor has played the biggest part in chalking that, you know, on a whatever 3 weeks to a monthly basis. So as it blows away and all the rest of it gets driven over.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can get away from that.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions about the Rock parking? All right. Moving on to page 7, we do have this was a great project to finally just be completed with, I must say. So back a month or two ago, I mentioned in one of the director's reports that maintenance removed 96 solar panels off the roof of the Vetzal for a re-roof project. We then had a contractor, local contract, SynCal, came in and did a great job re-roofing with the membrane roof, the TPO. And they discovered after pulling the old roofing off, there was a lot of wood that needed to be replaced, as we knew we would get into. Old roof, old building. And so they went ahead and replaced several pieces of sheeting, fascia, beams, posts that were weathered. And maintenance staff went ahead and primed and painted all that. And then we went ahead and, after all the re-roofing was done and everything was painted, we went ahead and reinstalled the 96 solar panels and all the electrical that came with it. So everything worked. We're back online and we are making power and to 3 inverters. So it went well. I must say staff did a wonderful job documenting and mapping out the panels as they came off. So we were able to put them back on in that fashion. So that was a great job completed.
Great.
And then any questions with that at all, with the solar at the Vetzal? Okay, great. And then that actually completes my report. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you,
Matt. We'll kick it to Janine.
Thanks, and good evening. I just have 2 quick items, one that's on the agenda in the staff report and one that just occurred yesterday. So starting on July 1, so 2 weeks from tomorrow, we will be resuming collection of our full fair pricing that we had suspended back last March when the pandemic started and the shelter at home order took effect. And so we put notices up in the buses. We're also noticing on a rider alert onto the city website as well, so that we can give the rider some advance warning that was going to be happening. And so with the reopening of the public offices, we will also be able to resume selling the regional passes and the RTA passes as well, that was done previously out of this office before the closure. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is that with the emergency street closure of Quintana Road, a section of that for the WRF pipeline project, that's that closure started yesterday. We're having to reroute around that. So there's going to be some delays with our schedule. And we noticed, we put a rider alert in the vehicles today and have noticed all of the transit stops with that same rider alert. So that, our understanding, is maybe going to be for a couple of weeks. And so we're going to be experiencing delays during that time. And then hopefully it won't go much longer than that and we can resume our regular schedule. And that's all I had.
Thank you, Janine. Moving on to Damaris.
Good evening, thank you. I just wanted to highlight the annual water quality report is out. It's also called a consumer confidence report. The report is goes over kind of a lot of information about where your water comes from, the constituents possibly in the water, just educational material in it. The report is required to be due every year by July 1st. If you get a water bill, you should have got a little notice in there saying that it's available. It's available on the website, or you can email if you want to have a hard copy emailed to you or mailed to you. We can do that. But yeah, if you guys want to check that out, it's available on the website today. And then the other part is with the water.
Just quick question. I didn't have a chance to look at it yet, but are there any highlights you'd like to share about the report, or is it just pretty much the same as every year?
It's fairly standard from the previous years. We didn't have any violations, so that's a good thing. So that would be the only highlight that I would have, really. but there's a lot of good information in there. So I could highlight that it does show the difference between the state water and our well water. So when you look at those numbers compared to each other, remember that that's well water and that's not treated water yet. So don't get scared by some of those numbers. And so if there's any other questions, then the other, I just want to point out the different water reports that we had done this month. And I think that's pretty much it for me.
Thanks, Damaris. Next up, we have Joe with also Damaris. So Joe oversees the utilities division and it has three separate units. So there's going to be a few pages here, but he oversees the water operations as well as the wastewater collections and wastewater treatment. So it's all yours, Joe.
Thanks, Greg. So yeah, as Greg said, you know, we oversee the operators perform the functions in water, wastewater treatment, and wastewater collections. But it's all one staff, and so we've been busy this past month working with Anvil Contract Construction on the conveyance pipeline. You have a few pictures there of a couple night shutdowns that we did, rerouting some water mains that were in the way. There also was a few sewer collection lines that got rerouted. So we've been working hand in hand with them and scheduling the shutdowns. On the water treatment plant side, we continue our efforts to replumb the RO facility that is down by the construction site, also on Atascadero Road next to the existing wastewater treatment plant. So that that building and treatment plant, we're moving all our tanks that you currently see outside that building to the inside, and we're going to be able to landscape that in the future and reskin the outside of that building. So that's been an ongoing project now for going on our second year. Wastewater collections, again, been a pretty quiet month. We did some just routine cleaning and video inspection and some lift station maintenance. The photos are of one of our lift stations that we routinely pull the pumps and remove the rags. Again, a good opportunity for a public service announcement here is to not flush the flushable wipes. As you can see in the pump, they definitely plug our pumps and create havoc in our system. So we have to pull those pumps and pull out all those flushable wipes that are not actually flushable. Hmm. So on the wastewater treatment side, mostly routine maintenance. We Took down one of our main clarifiers. That's one of the big tanks where the water comes in, and we separate the solids that float from the solids that settle. That's the simplest way I can describe it. So we have two of those tanks. Took down one of them and cleaned it, and then did some routine boiler maintenance. The pictures on the next slide, where you actually had seen those last month, I apologize that they didn't get removed. Those are just a repeated slide from last month, but happy to answer any questions.
My question would be, how are the pipeline, the Anvil guys, how are they doing on their recruitment? I mean, I know they were kind of shorthanded for a while. Is that changed or improved?
It has. They brought a lot of their more seasoned individuals out of the Bay Area. That's where they're based out of. And so they actually have a good field crew now. Communications between Anvil and us have definitely improved, as you would expect. You know, it's the first couple months, you know, everybody was finding their way and their position. And, you know, currently, you know, I got to say that things have definitely, we found our groove and we're moving forward and very positive with our interaction with them at the moment.
When are they going to start burrowing under the traffic circle?
I don't have the schedule in front of me. Maybe Rob can answer that when he gets to that part of the, okay. Of the direction report.
That's fine.
Okay, thanks, Joe. And we'll move right on to Rob.
Thank you, Greg. Board members, Rob Leibig, city engineer. Summary of engineering activities. We have a listing of our capital improvement projects. Want to highlight a couple items we're bringing to council this next time. Authorization for receiving SB1 money for this next fiscal year. So we listed a project out of our pavement management plan that will spend about $196,000 on resurfacing work on Main Street between Beach and Morro Bay Boulevard that will complement the stopgap project that we'll be doing also this year of dig out and repairs on Main Street. So we'll get to do some dig out and repairs and then seal that back up again and preserve that highly trafficked arterial street. The One Water projects are moving along with the consultant team preparing final plans and specs for the water and the wastewater project. Expect those final plans and specs anytime. We'll likely perform the sewer line work on Atascadero Road as a proposed change order with our Anvil construction contractors. It just seemed like a bad idea to put the conveyance pipelines in Atascadero Road this summer and then dig it up again next summer to put a replace a sewer line right next to that. So. Hopefully accomplish that all in one project. On the WRF project, like Joe said, there were some hiccups in the beginning with Anvil, but they're proceeding well. And as Janine mentioned, we do have a full road closure of Quintana Road between Main Street and Kennedy Avenue due to a conflict with an existing water, our pumping line that pumps from the brackish water RO plant up to the Kings Avenue tanks. That line is not where the plans showed it is. It's completely on the opposite side of the street. And so now we're not surprised they didn't find it potholing where we thought it was going to be. So that existing water line is in very close proximity to the new trench line. We're seeing trench failure from that existing water line and needed to get the traffic load off of that. So temporarily, Anvil has backfilled their existing trench with clism or concrete slurry. to protect that water line, and we'll be digging back through that to install the conveyance pipelines. We can expect that closure to last likely the full 2 weeks. So it started last night and will go the rest of this week and next week. And then we'll be able to open the road back up again to Kennedy. That concludes my portion and be happy to answer any questions.
Rob, I had a question. Is there any other opportunities that you see, like for change orders to basically kind of do the same thing with Anvil, like with the pipeline to improve areas, you know, so we're not kind of digging things up next year or the year after that you maybe is possible for the future?
We'll take advantage of that as much as possible. So we'll get some, you know, because this is such a wide trench, we'll see an awful lot of new pavement on the streets that we're working in. But we have to be fairly careful with the change order and not run up against the contractual limits for change orders on a project. So, and it needs to be closely related work. So close in proximity and close in scope. So this Atascadero Road line seemed like the perfect solution coming together, having them there anyway and working right there. So replacing that existing sewer line seemed like a no-brainer to have them do that work.
Cool.
We'll see what happens when they give us the cost to do that work, see how much of a no-brainer it is.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Rob, I'm curious, the King's Tank supply line it being in the wrong spot, what is that? What's going to happen? Are they going to move it or?
Yeah, that line needs to get relocated to meet the Division of Drinking Water requirements for water sewer separation requirements. So we had always planned to relocate a portion of it. We just need to relocate a longer portion of that, and that'll be likely a change order also because of change conditions.
So are you going to leave it on the other side of the street where it is now?
Yeah, we're going to make sure that we meet the separation requirements to the water line, and that's already been designed out. And then Waterworks Engineers is preparing a design to extend that separation.
Okay.
Thank you, Rob. Chair Rogers, that concludes the director's report. We'd be happy to take any questions at this time.
Thank you, city staff, for your excellent work. I'm very excited about moving on to the Scott Collins City Council goals. And I know Scott's on with us here, and I congratulate you on a nice, interesting staff report.
Chair Rogers, I believe you have to check if there's any public comment.
Okay. I'm happy to do that. Is there anyone in the queue who'd like to make a public comment?
Vice Chair Rogers, I do not see anyone in the queue waiting to do public comment.
Okay. Well, we want that to happen, but it hasn't happened too much. So, all right, so let's move on to Scott Collins, and something that we're all very excited about. Scott, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Rogers and board members. I'm gonna share my screen, so bear with me one moment here. Let's see if I can do this right. Okay, this is my staff report, so I'm not gonna try to read it or anything, but it's a nice reference point in some cases. So let me pull it back over here. So the subject tonight is really to give you all an update, a brief update on the City Council goals process and progress that's been made to date on the 2019 and 20 goals, and then really try to focus the conversation and discussion for you all to give us input to share back with City Council regarding revisions to the goals and just as important, sort of what the action items we should pursue in relation to those goals and how that
comes back to the Public Works Department and in this advisory board that provides really important input. So just to jump right in, City Council created a strategic framework policy in 2016, and then it was updated in 2018 and to focus more on getting community input, and then created a cycle whereby the goals, which are sort of the, if you saw, you know, the aspirational direction the city's trying to head and major things we're trying to achieve. They felt it was important to have this discussion with the community and amongst themselves following every general election, so on a two-year cycle. So City Council had revised its goals in 2018 and did so again the next year in 2019 and set 2 years in motion. We had anticipated being here talking to you all in February or January of this year about the goals, but we were waylaid a bit by COVID-19 and just some of the other issues related to that we were trying to settle. So here we are mid-year, kicking off the two-year process, which will ultimately be more like an 18-month process for the goals. But ultimately, again, the goals are a statement of priorities for the City Council, and we want to make sure they reflect the needs and desires of our community. And the way that we do that is a variety of methods, utilizing online surveys, community forums or forum, usually in singular, and of course, just as important, hearing from the advisory boards. We have several that relate specifically to city departments and some that are more general in nature. But it's important to hear from each of the advisory boards sort of how the city's doing, if our goals can continue to reflect the priorities of the community, and if the action items that set out to achieve those goals are the right ones. So as it stands right now, we have five goals. Really, it's four goals plus a temporary goal. Number one is achieve economic and fiscal sustainability. That was set as the primary goal in 2019 as the city was already addressing some pretty significant budget challenges, which became even more acute during the COVID-19 pandemic. And then the three other goals are of equal importance: improving infrastructure and public spaces, completing updates to our significant land use plans and addressing affordable housing issues, improving communication engagement with the community, and again, the temporary goal with COVID-19 related to our response to the public health issues and the fiscal impacts or economic impacts of the pandemic. So again, as I mentioned, we try to set these goals every 2 years and then create action items. So for the 2019 and 20 goals, City Council approved 26 action items. And those are outlined in the Excel spreadsheets that were attached. They have various colors kind of decoding where we are in the progress of each of those action items. And ultimately, City Council created a rule, if you will, that these are the 26 things we're gonna pursue during the two-year cycle. And if we wanna add anything of significance, we need to take items off the plate because we do have limited staff and resources. And ultimately, we're trying to get things done and not have a list of things we can never get around to doing. And that's become enshrined in their policy handbook and also plays into how they interact with the various advisory boards like yours to make sure we're focused on the things that matter most to our community. With regard to how we've done in these four, I guess the fifth added goal, but really the four current goals and the action items, we've made progress along many of those, and I'm not going to go into each and one of these, just so you know, you can refer to them. We have several items that we've completed. The next series that you see here coming up are items that have had some significant efforts put into them, but they're not necessarily all the way done. And then we have a list of items that have had some sparing attention paid to them, but there's still a lot of work to be done if we are to get those checked off the list. So moving on to the discussion, as I mentioned, typically following an election that January, February, after the new City Council is seated, we start this process of reviewing the goals. We go out to the community, ask for input. We go to the advisory boards, ask for their input. We have a community forum. City Council reviews all that collective input
and selects the or revises or adds to or subtracts to the goals, and then agrees on the action items we're going to pursue, and then they adopt those at the next city council meeting, and that becomes sort of our work plan, if you will, for the next 2 years. And that information is shared back to the advisory boards and commissions to make sure we're all working together as one. Now, with regard to this year, again, we were waylaid by COVID-19, so we're starting a little bit late. But ultimately, council provided input that, you know, as we move forward with this new revision effort on our goals, that we obviously think about the current needs and desires of our community. They could have shifted significantly after COVID-19, and the only way we find out is by asking the questions. And then ultimately, related to that is our ability to execute on those, understanding what our current city resource capacities are with staff and revenues. So with regard to the Public Works Advisory Board and the Public Works Department, there are several action items. And these, again, are those concrete things that we actually can do, and they can be checked off a list and hopefully help us achieve the goals we've set out. So I'll just read through those briefly and then jump into some questions for your discussion. Chief among those action items, and it really could be a goal into itself, is the wharf implementation. A lot of work has been done on this, you know, in terms of getting all the contracts in place and construction underway, acquiring financing from the federal government, close to acquiring financing from the state government, seeking further funding from the federal government, rates approved, just a laundry list of things that have been done to keep this project moving forward, and then managing the construction. That's an item that we'll continue to work on. So that's one that's been identified as an action item that this board would have some role in. And PWAB has been defined by council. The role with regard to the wharf is really to review key technical components of the wharf project, and that usually shows up in the form of either change orders or new contracts for new phases of the project. For instance, we still have work to do on the injection well components, and so we expect PWAB will play a major role in reviewing the direction moving forward on that. Another item is review of parking management options. We had brought in a consulting firm to do a parking study of our waterfront and downtown areas, and have come back with some preliminary findings. And they're trying to wrap that up into something that's digestible for our community, so we can start interacting with the business community, PWAB, and other boards and the council about direction for next steps. And then we have implementing approved capital improvement projects. Beyond the wharf, we do have other projects that have funding, including one water projects that Rob has kept you apprised of, but we have other projects like the Coleman Beach restroom, paving, of course, and a number of other items that fall into that bucket. And one other item that may have some relation to PWAB, and it's way too early to tell because we haven't been able to do a lot of work on it, is review of high-speed internet options or broadband options for Morro Bay, but we don't have much to report on that at this point. So those are the four action items that relate specifically to the PWAB, and some of those are pretty large buckets, like capital improvement projects that could encompass a lot of different things. And I know this board has had a lot of interest in that and understanding how progress is being made and how we can further some of these projects along. So with all that in mind, what we're seeking from PWAB tonight is to talk about the city goals. Again, those are the four major goals plus the temporary COVID goal. And ask yourselves, are these goals still reflective of our community, and are these the right goals for us to continue working on? Or, you know, if not, should we add some goals or remove some or revise them? It's sort of an open question for you. And then the next level down is those action items. Again, those are the things that help us achieve the goals. Are the four that I've identified related to Public Works and PWAB, they really truly reflect the priorities of PWAB and the Public Works Department, or the needs that we have in those arenas? Or if not, are there other action items we should consider bringing back to City Council for them to tussle with? Again, those four action items are the WARF implementation, review of parking management options, implementing capital improvement projects, and potentially reviewing high-speed internet options. So we're really just kind of curious what the input is from PWAB and just sort of your general thoughts. I will add that we probably could have another bite at the apple. Chair Rogers at the August meeting, because I know this is a lot to take in, and we don't want to rush the conversation, but you know, certainly if you kind of come to some consensus tonight, that's fantastic. But again, we don't want to rush this conversation. So if we need to finish it in August, that's still plenty of time to provide input to council. We expect that they'll start working on this sometime in September. So that's my report. And we're really just pleased that PWAB is interested in the city goals and interested sort of looking at your overall scope and role with regard to these important action items and giving us input to share with City Council.
Thank you, Scott. This is great. And I'm so pleased to see this.
No problem. Thank you.
Well, yes. I'd like to get some feedback from each of the members. I just want to ask one question on the five items, including the temporary goal for COVID that you started with, the land use plans and the affordable housing. Is that more of the Planning Commission's bailiwick?
Yeah, I believe so, Doug. That's Planning Department is front and center on that. They, you know, worked through the Planning Commission to adopt not only the general plan, but related to that is the housing element, which is a shorter window. General plan is more like a 20-year outlook, and housing element's like a 5-year outlook for specific to housing.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know how important the housing, or just how crazy the housing market is, period, right now.
Right.
Hard already before that. So there's been a concerted effort regionally to sort of look at that collectively, how we can move things forward. But your planning department is the primary operator in that space, and then the Planning Commission, and then City Council.
All right. I'm just, well, because that tied in with the warming, you know, on number three, I don't see that anything happen on goal number three. You know, the warming center was mentioned, but you know, it looks like that's just not got any attention.
Yeah, we've been working on the homeless issue as well regionally, and sort of letting the county take lead. But we're, as a city, we're ready to partner with them. We had pursued an emergency shelter project option with the Vets Hall, but the county ultimately chose not to use the state funds for that project and put it into the South County, I guess, where the issues are a little more acute. But we understand, especially with the eviction order maybe getting lifted in a couple weeks, that this issue become more critical in places like Morro Bay. So right. It's one we're paying attention to.
Okay. Well, we should go around and let everyone comment on your suggestions here. I don't know, Ted, do you want to start with any thoughts or questions?
And I would ask that if you want to combine them, that's totally fine, but it may be easier just to sort of say, let's first round talk about the goals, which are those four major goals. And I can share my screen again if it's helpful. So you can look at those while you're talking. It's up to you guys.
Ted, do you want to start with any thoughts or questions?
Well, I guess I have a question. Could you, you know, without a lot of detail, go into what the parking management plan is? This is kind of the first time I've heard that. Is this something that is mainly being handled by a consultant, or do you have a lot of city staff resources allocated to it?
Yeah, great question, Ted. It's both. Definitely, we don't have the expertise to sort of do the parking counts and the analysis, but we have a lot of input into sort of what the scope of the study was, but where the areas we know are impacted, at least we think are impacted, but we're not the experts, so we need somebody who's objective to come in and say, you actually have a problem here, but not here, or there's no problems anywhere, or here's some suggestions as how you might want to manage these issues. So they help sort of set the stage for developing a problem statement. And then the next steps really is working through the committees and the council, particularly at PWAB and the Harbor Advisory Board, because a lot of the parking issues are in the harbor area. And you know, one of the options, and it definitely could be a third rail, I'm not exactly sure, but one of the options that a lot of cities turn to is paid parking. It helps address sort of the movement of vehicles. It's an economic vitality tool, and certainly for some folks view it as a revenue generating option, and it's not necessarily how staff is looking at it. It's more of the economic vitality and having turnover so that employees and business owners who are parking in front of their businesses are, you know, sort of rewarded when there's no cost to that parking, right? So it parking management doesn't necessarily have to include paid parking, but it typically does. So that's the scope, is really for them to set the stage, and then staff and the advisory boards and council take it from there. But I imagine we would continue to work with the consultant at some level, because it's pretty specialized work.
But have you received any product from them yet? Or are we sort of in a waiting to see what they come up with?
We have draft information that we were vetting, and then they're creating something that's easily consumable for the community. And so we're waiting on that, and that we're hoping that we'll have something in hand, looking at my calendar, sometime by the end of this month, early July.
Scott, on that same topic, parking management, and you mentioned specifically the harbor area. When I've driven down there, I've found parking spaces, but you really can't get to them because of the traffic flow,
right?
Congestion between probably, the north about four blocks of the Embarcadero,
right?
You get south from there, there's parking spots. So to really manage the parking well, we may need to do some traffic flow mitigations.
Right. I mean, that's an excellent point. And to Ted's point, it's not just a consultant effort, because, you know, if we only look at it from a parking viewpoint and an expert viewpoint, they're going to miss those things about, well, on a really busy Sunday, you know, if you create an additional, you know, delay of sorts by having paid parking, you could make that traffic flow even worse. So that's why we involve folks like Rob Leibig and Greg Bullock and others who the police department, fire department, Harbor Department Hall kind of have dealt with those traffic flow issues to think about how it all might work together.
Thank you.
That's great. Good questions. Okay, let's see. How about Lori? Do you have any thoughts or comments on this general overall topic?
Yeah, just going back to the goals, they seem to make sense to me. I have a couple of comments. One is the COVID temporary goal, sort of looking at that and thinking kind of how much we've all learned through the COVID experience. And then also, given that there are possibilities, some sort of scenario such as that could occur again in the future. And also just other changes that might be happening that I don't think are reflected in these goals, such as climate change effects. I'm wondering if that goal, if there might be some value in retaining some sort of goal, but not specific to COVID, but that has more to do with resiliency planning or some such thing. So that's one thought. The only other thought I comment was the goal, which does seem up our alley, about improving infrastructure and public spaces. When I went down to the action items, that goal was abbreviated to include improved public infrastructure, and it omitted the part about public spaces. So a question is, are those going to be sort of two objectives combined into one? are those given sort of equal weight and consideration, or are they not? And if not, maybe that's just something worth clarifying, or, you know, asking the council to clarify so that there can be the appropriate focus on kind of two complementary, but, you know, sort of different elements.
That's a great question, Maureen. And I think if it didn't translate from one to the next, it was probably just there on my part. But I don't know how to answer. You know, council would have to be the ones to answer how we weigh one over the other. But I would say it appears that from the public standpoint, that they're both equally important, and maybe the more visible components are sort of the public spaces when you think about trash and restrooms and sort of the consumption of those services by our visitors, the impacts that it has on all of us. So I think the council would probably view that equally, but of course I don't want to speak for them, but I didn't mean to edit in any certain way. I probably just made a mistake and didn't catch that. Well,
I did sort of looking through the action items, I thought they did seem more focused on infrastructure
as
well.
So that's probably true.
And, you know, and I raised the question. It wasn't just the
stuff. Got it. And I think that's fair, especially when you think about when the last time council approved action items was 2019. And we knew we had some of these public space issues. I'm not trying to gloss over that, but I think it's changed quite a lot in the last year. So I think they would probably add things that to the action items that aren't there right now. For instance, how trash and restroom services are managed. I could almost guarantee that would be on the list.
Those are my thoughts. That's all. So thank
great,
you.
Great observations, Lori. Okay, let's see. Where's Ian?
My comments really are just, I think, you know, with the current, with the water, the wharf project, and just kind of touching on what Rob said about, you know, trying to, you know, do the pipe, you know, next year or this year and do the same things, you know, to kind of save money so we're not ripping the streets up twice. And so I think really just kind of being as efficient as possible. Sorry. as being as efficient as possible. You know, why the streets are ripped up and trying to basically improve the city infrastructure as much as we can as we go through, you know, each street, I think is important. So we're not kind of, you know, restriping and resealing and redoing all those things so often after we get all these brand new streets put in, I think is really important. And maybe if we have to spend a little more money today than in 5 years, but it would be efficient. And if Anvil could do that kind of thing, or we're kind of ready and efficient to move another company right in to kind of knock out those action items, I think is worthwhile. Why, you know, so we don't have construction going on in Morro Bay for 10 years. It's more of, you know, we just get it done and be efficient and make it last for a long time. So that's pretty much my comment. I don't know enough about, I think, the parking and those kind of things yet to really make a educated guess of what I think about that yet. So that's probably all I have.
Okay. Well, Scott, what might be the next step? It sounds like are we going to be doing some surveying of the community? Tonight, you wanted us to kind of respond to what you've written here.
Right. I think, Doug, Lori put out a really interesting goal item around resiliency or you know, parlayed off that climate change, or maybe climate change is under resiliency. I'd be really curious to hear what the other members have to say about that. And then if there were any other action items that we're missing, I think I heard trash and restroom service probably could be thrown in. But I'm putting words in your mouth. So I don't want to do that. So if there's anything you want to all kind of just generally talk about or have consensus around, that's helpful, or we can again come back in August and present again and see if given time to think about it, if you have more to say at that point, give me another shot at it. But yeah, we would start doing surveys this summer. We have a really cool online tool called Polco, which you subscribe to. It's really easy to subscribe to. And then that way you don't have people who can overvote. You get one vote for each of the things. And you can drill down. It's sort of as good as SurveyMonkey as far as being able to ask as many questions as you need, but it has more a scientific approach on the back end, and you can look at demographics and the responses to make sure it's representative of the community. So we probably use that. And then since we're able to begin to have in-person meetings, we'd likely have some kind of community forum in the late summer, early fall, after we've received all the input from surveys and from the advisory boards.
Scott, what's the prognostication as to when we're going to have in-person meetings again?
Oh, yeah, great question, Ted. I would imagine your August meeting would maybe be the last truly Zoom-only meeting, and then maybe it's the next meeting where this board would have the capability to do a hybrid. But a whole lot more information to obtain from our amazing partner at AGP that are working on a hybrid plan. So where folks could either choose to be in the room or observe from home and still participate from home on Zoom. So we're hoping sometime in September.
Okay. I'd like to follow up on what you just said, Scott, and ask Lori, is it possible to, for an example or two of what might be more resiliency planning? I'm kind of thinking through what might that look like?
Yeah, to be honest, I thought of that during the meeting, just as I was thinking through the COVID. So it might be a matter of trying to look at, you know, how other jurisdictions handle that, or maybe Greg has some experience from his past in what cities are doing. But certainly in addition to having plans for, like, you know, based on what we learned for COVID, would it make sense to have some sort of plan if there's another pandemic that could maybe help ease some of the pain that occurred through that process? But relatedly, climate change is expected to have impacts in terms of flooding, drought, temperature. Are there going to, you know, you talked about a warming center. Is there going to be need at some point for a cooling center? I mean, in Morro Bay, you know, maybe not, but it's, you know, certainly worth thinking about those things. So, yeah, again, that was a little off the top of my head, but I think we could probably do some research and look into it further and see, again, what, you know, other communities might be doing to try to plan for, you know, their sea level rise as well. I don't know what the specific projections are for Morro Bay, but a lot of communities have to plan for some managed retreat, you know, for example. And it doesn't seem too soon to be at least thinking about those types of issues. Oh, and Scott, I actually did want to make one clarification. When we were talking about public spaces, I wasn't necessarily just thinking of trash, but also in terms of parks and other, you know, that type of infrastructure. You know, we've got some areas that are going to be, that we're going to be looking at planning for, like the old WWTP and, I guess the power plant site is private, is that correct? But anyway, so I just meant that more generally.
Got it. Okay,
that's
helpful.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to say that part of our resiliency is the what we're doing with the WRF and actually creating a new source of water. Since I've been very concerned about what's happening with our state water system and the reduction in water availability to so many parts of the state. So that would be one good thing we've done already. Because that's part of this resiliency thing is a water supply. And so we're at least ahead on that one.
Yeah, we'd be, if the BWAB's interested, we can certainly look into that that resiliency goal and see if other cities have carry something like that. I imagine other coastal communities have something along those lines. If anything, just to bring back for a discussion in August. If there's support for that, we would definitely go do that.
Well, I think that would be great because we might, you know, I think examples would be a really good thing for us to think about. And I'm kind of at a loss right now, other than the water, of course.
Right.
So I would say that'd be great if that's something that someone in the staff can I don't know.
Yeah, I could probably research that myself or work with Greg on that. I know other staff have plenty of other things to do, but I think it's worthwhile because I've heard this is sort of a new, not so new, but somewhat new area of focus for government, local governments, especially since we get to deal with when the rubber hits the road on all these things. So.
Yep. Well, thinking ahead, it goes a long way. So, well, that's great. Well, okay. Is that helpful?
Yeah, and I didn't know if anybody, did we already ask public comment? Sorry if I already did that. Just see if anybody has anything to offer in the community.
We have Doug, I have a few more comments.
Great. Well, then go ahead and shoot. And we can ask for public comment after that.
You know, with regard to the four goals that we're talking about today, I mean, I quite honestly am amazed that the public works people are doing anything other than putting a wastewater treatment facility plant together at this point. The fact that Rob, you know, that we're doing the work, the WRF, and that Rob's got some capital projects that he's moving ahead with, you know, I think. It's my impression, the little time that I've spent with this group, is that they're doing, that they've got their hands full, and that, you know, for the time being, until they get more of that treatment plant under their belts, you know, that they ought not be working on other things. That's really, I think, concentrating on that WRF is really the thing that the city should be doing at this time and for the foreseeable future.
Doesn't the project manager from Corollo also fulfill some of that, Scott?
Oh, there's no doubt. The Corollo team, it's a lot of folks on their team who stands in to do things where we don't have the expertise, no question. And they've been really helpful in permitting, you know, sort of advanced work on the injection well systems, funding, securing that. Creating financial documents that, you know, our Citizen Finance Advisory Committee and Council review. So they're very helpful on that, but Ted is correct that, you know, both Rob and Joe Mueller and, you know, and to a certain extent, everybody who's on the screen who plays some role in supporting the WRF project. And, you know, at a moment's notice, anything else we're working on gets dropped when there's an issue with the WRF and there's, it's a challenging project, so there's a lot of time where my time and Rob, Joe, and Greg are sort of spending days on that, yeah.
Because the more help you have, the more time you spend helping the help, so I don't know how that goes.
Yeah, it's a fair point, but it's good that we've been able to create some capacity to look at other things at the same time, and it's a balancing act.
Another question that I have, Scott, is that do you see any sort of public works advisory board involvement in the treatment that the power plant going forward? I mean, are there any public works opportunities, challenges, that are going to be involved with this with the old site for the next few years?
That's a good question, Ted. And maybe Rob would want to opine on this. I mean, I know that as it relates to a battery project, you know, which is the Vistra Corp has submitted to our planning department, you know, it's going to go through that planning review and the environmental review. There's potential for community benefit for a project of that magnitude, which could arrive in the form of infrastructure improvements. And so, if that's the case, I could make the argument that the PWAB would want to provide input into, you know, something along those lines. But I don't want to put that out too far out there and get hopes up because I, you know, who knows if the project actually moves forward or anything like that. But Hey, Rob, any other thoughts on that?
Well, the proposed battery project will have the obligation to install improvements per the municipal code. So frontage improvements along the Embarcadero Road frontage and a portion of the dirt extension they'll need to improve. But beyond that, the city may go down the path of, for the full development of the site, executing a development agreement. And in that development agreement, as some of you may have worked on these before with large scale developments, we negotiate a improvements for basically time and certainty of a project. So I think that's maybe where PWAB may have a role, is through the execution of these this development agreement.
And just to give a sense of timing, that potentially could be a year or so off from where we stand today. So that's, again, not trying to rush this forward or anything like that, but that I think there could be a role for PWAB as we learn more from VSTRA.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see if there's anybody in the public who wants to comment. Is there anybody in the queue?
No, sir, not at this time.
All right. Well, have we addressed, Scott, what you were looking for this evening?
Yeah, and like I said, if you're okay with it, if the five of you want us to, we can bring back some more information on sort of that resiliency goal and maybe spell out the public spaces a bit more per Lori's suggestion.
Okay. Well,
for the August meeting, yeah.
Does everybody feel that that's a good idea?
It's a great idea.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then, is there some way we can add that on future agenda items then?
What I would do, Doug, is just recirculate the staff report that we have for this item and just put that on again and do a revision to include this information.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another way to do that is basically to continue this item to the August meeting, and that way it kind of automatically appears on the agenda.
There you go.
Rob, you're great.
The encyclopedia.
Been doing okay. The file.
All right. I think that's a great idea. Okay. So we're going to conclude this item.
Yes. Thank you for your time.
Well, no, it's a very good discussion.
You're going to continue this item to the August PWAB meeting.
We will.
Somebody would want to make the motion to do.
Okay. So I'm going to let Lori make that motion if she's so willing.
Absolutely. I move to continue this item to the August meeting.
Second.
Excellent. Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Okay. So we're going to continue. So let's, speaking of the next item, it is the future agenda items. And what I understand is the August meeting will be a Zoom meeting, and then the September meeting, we'll see what happens. So in August, we're adding also the election of a new chair and this continued item and the WRF project update. I don't know. We used to get an update from Eric when he was with Carollo. Is that going to continue, or is Rob going to fill that role on the WRF updates?
Chair Rogers, the intent there is to have someone from Carollo give the project update. Kyle took over for Eric on the Carollo side. I'm not sure if he's the person that'll give the project update yet, so I need to do a little bit of research there, and I may talk with you offline about exactly what you think might be beneficial for the PWAP to hear. I'll also talk with Scott about that. And I can just also mention that the transit hub improvements, that transit hub is for the bus stops there at City Park, right by City Hall. And we intend to bring that item in August as well.
Okay. Okay. So then I can see that there's, we have some September item and then our August, is there, do we need to discuss this or vote on it, or it looks like it's looks pretty,
no.
pretty
yeah, this is just a heads up.
Informational.
And if you notice in October, we do have the joint meeting with the Rec and Parks Commission. That's going to be a city tour of the parks. We probably won't get to all the parks. I'm told that this is usually about half of them, especially since we have a lot of new commissioners, or I'm sorry, advisory board members, and we will get one more as a replacement to ex-chair Tory. I think it's really good timing to do that tour in October.
Okay.
So in addition to the parks, we generally visit some of the either existing infrastructure or projects going on. So last year we went out, or last time we did the tour, we went out to the wharf site to take a look at that. And so we'll arrange an interesting, informative tour.
Well, that would be fascinating, I think, for sure. Okay, it sounds great. So are there any other things that we need to attend to? Because otherwise we're going to adjourn before 7, which is like miraculous for us. And let everybody get on with their evening. So without further ado, I guess I'm going to declare the meeting adjourned. And thank you very much. And we'll talk with, have a good July. We'll talk with you in August.
Thank you, board
thank
members.
Thank you. Thank you all. Appreciate
thank you, everybody.
Thanks so much.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Okay, thank you. Good night.